Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and a special edition. I am so excited. Special edition of Understanding Autism, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. You guys are back again from yesterday. How are you?
Good.
Doing all right.
Wow, this is great. Can you believe it? You're going to be expanding, and typically, or normally, it's going to be on the second Tuesday from 3 to 4. This is the third Tuesday from 2 to 3. But it's just a sneak preview of what's going on from now on. Every Monday, every second Monday, every second Tuesday, 3 to 4. How excited are you?
Very excited.
Yes, very excited.
And the reason you're excited is because, listen, you're going to help so many people, and that's what it's about.
Definitely.
Tell us more about that.
Well, we're all about helping others and spreading awareness and sharing experiences and insight. So we're really thankful to have an opportunity to have another hour to do that.
Yeah. Kim is a certified RDI consultant, and she's got years of experience with just dealing with these sort of things. And I was diagnosed at 23. So between the two of us, we can offer some different perspectives on a lot of the situations that people finding out about autism in their family or finding out about their own autism are dealing with.
Which is really important, the way I see it, is that when you're such a great team, because Paul, you live it, and Kim, you are looking, I was going to say from the outside in, but not really. I think you have this ability to be able to really take the role on the inside out. I think it's a gift you have.
Thank you.
Would you agree with that, Paul, to be able to relate at a level that deeply?
I'm the last person to talk to about things involving relating.
Well, I make 100% effort to do that, and I think the thing that I try to encourage people to remember too is, you know, the human to human connection has to come first, and any diagnosis or label is really secondary. You know, when you're supporting an individual that has difficulties, building trust and showing support and doing the best you can to understand is what I strive for.
So empathy, compassion, and passionate about what you do.
Patience.
Wow.
Listening.
Wow, these are great skills. And what else?
You know, but anyway, we have announcements.
Enough about you, right? That's what you're
Before we get into the meat of the show, there's a few things that
we
Kim
have
wanted to talk about.
Yes. One thing I wanted to announce that I'm excited about is the upcoming 12th annual Greater Phoenix Autism and Asperger's Conference. It's going to be on May 13th and 14th. At the Scottsdale Bible Church. And some people, if you haven't heard of this before, it's an annual conference that the Autism Society does every year. In the previous years, it's been at ASU campuses, and this year, Scottsdale Bible Church has opened up their doors for us to be able to have our conference there. And on our Facebook page, we have the link you can go to. And actually, let me just look on here, too. For more information, you can go to www.phxautism.org. And that information will also be on our Understanding Autism on Facebook, our Facebook page.
Wow. So what happens at this conference? Can you describe? Have you been? You've probably been there.
I have been in the past. I'm actually speaking at this conference as well. I'm giving a short therapeutic lecture in regards to teaching social referencing, but there's going to be a therapy track, a medical track, a teen and adult on the spectrum track, and also there's going to be some keynote speakers. And actually, one of the keynote speakers is Diana Henry. She's an occupational therapist, and she's going to talk about some of the sensory challenges that people on the spectrum face And I've heard her before, and she's actually very insightful, very good, and I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of people.
So that's May 13th and 14th.
Yes.
And that, where is it again, the Bible?
It's at Scottsdale Bible Church, but you do need to register ahead of time. So if you go to that website, it's the Autism Society's website. It's www.phxautism.org. And they'll have a link there where you can click on events and you'll be able to see. Oh, it looks like you've pulled it up.
I did.
Yep, it's right there. The 12th Annual Greater Phoenix Autism Conference.
Wow. Do you know how many people usually show up?
A lot.
Wow. Is it all over the nation people come in?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, this is sponsored by the Phoenix chapter, but definitely I think people in surrounding states. I've noticed people coming in from Nevada, California, New Mexico, and yeah.
So, these things are great because it's up to the minute, you know, updates on what's going on in this particular situation with the people on the autism spectrum. So you're going to learn a lot, and it often can take the worry out of people's minds, I suspect.
Well, I'm excited about it, too, because I think there's a lot of diversity in speakers. Like I said, there's going to be different tracks, an educational track, therapeutic, biomedical. There's going to be a wide variety of information. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I am one of the speakers for one of the breakout sessions. And also I want to mention that for families out there, there is a cost to attend, but there's also assistance for families who fall into the, I think, under $50,000 a year household income. So don't let cost detour you from registering.
Yeah, you always at least inquire. Do you have a phone number, or should we get it later? We can always get it later if people want to call to inquire about cost or assistance.
Yeah, definitely go to that website. And what I could do is, actually, I do have a phone number, 480-831-2047.
Well, that's good. I think if people call, then at least they can understand, and I guess they could probably register that way too, I suspect, or at least they'll be directed to how to do that, and they should probably do it quickly because May's coming up fairly quick.
Yes.
And you don't want to be left out, I don't think, especially this important information, and I suspect it's sort of like a big support type of group too. You meet other people with similar circumstances.
Yes. Well, professionals attend, parents attend, also individuals on the spectrum attend. There's different rates for if you're a professional, a family member, or a person on the spectrum. And it is a really nice way to collaborate with each other and also learn about some of the different disciplines that people are using to help these people.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And those things are always great. I suspect all over the country they have things like that going on.
Definitely. Different cities are putting on conferences all the time.
So how do they get in touch? How do they get to your Facebook? Because you're really serving as a great resource center, as well as this radio show. But also, you know, when you're not on the radio, Facebook would be right there. And I guess people can communicate with you, too.
Yeah. If you just go to Facebook and search for Understanding Autism Radio Show, you'll find us. The actual Facebook page is just, I believe, facebook.com/understandingautismradio.
Wow, and there it is right there. I'm looking at it.
And we have posted resources for those of you who were listening yesterday. We've posted those links for resources for adults on the spectrum, and we've also posted links and resources for today's show under the discussion tab.
Wow, that's excellent.
But we're encouraging people to interact with us on our Facebook page. We want to hear your questions, show ideas, comments. We want this to be a supportive, collaborative effort, so we really do want feedback. We welcome any and all feedback.
Yeah, that's great. And I guess even, I suspect, let's ask Paul, you know all about this stuff. I guess even while we're on the show, can people write on Facebook and we could pick it off right there?
We could. I don't think we're watching it right now, or, you know, I'm obviously not. I'm over here far from the computer.
Yeah.
But, looking forward in future shows, we could make sure we're set up for that better.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I got it up right here, so I guess perhaps.
Well, I mean, you'd have to refresh the page. I don't know if Facebook
refreshes
itself. Well, I'm not too familiar with using it, honestly.
Yeah.
More technical side of a lot of things.
Right. Well, that's one way to get a hold of us, definitely.
And we also, you know, welcome callers.
Encourage callers. Yeah. And
that's right.
And we definitely want you to call in at 602-296-3632. We welcome your questions and comments, and we would just love to hear from you.
That is great. So, again, 602-296-3632. Had some nice callers yesterday.
We did.
And
really
that,
enjoyed that.
Very, very good. So today's a great subject matter. Interesting topics?
Yeah, we've got a few bits of, I don't want to say news necessarily, but interesting current things relating to autism. We've got the results of some research that's been going on for a while that, while it's not necessarily conclusive, it offers a new insight into what may be a cause of some forms of autism. And we also have some information about a relatively cheap device, and I use the term relatively loosely, that is showing a lot of use in helping with therapy and people suffering from autism. So we'll get to that in just a few more minutes. Kim wanted to talk about some of our people in Japan. We've had that recent tsunami and earthquake there, and it's just important to realize that there are people suffering from autism everywhere, and things like this that are very disruptive to the home life can cause even greater troubles for someone who doesn't have the faculties to necessarily comprehend how to cope with such a situation.
And I personally have a connection to, I mean, as a human, I connect to the people, but also there are three certified RDI consultants that practice in Japan, and I just wanted to, you know, take some time to let them know that we're thinking of them and the clients that they serve, and we're just praying and sending our good thoughts to them for, you know, the easiest recovery possible under such bad circumstances. But I just wanted my fellow coworkers out there in Japan to know that we are thinking of them and we're praying for them and their families.
Well, that, you know, that's important. That's what a tragedy, and it seems to be continuing, unfortunately, with some of the nuclear sites there, the reactors, evidently. So hopefully they can get that all squared away.
Yeah, I'm hoping. We've been getting updates through our consultant site, and some of the RDI consultants out there haven't been in touch with some of their clients yet, and I'm just hoping for their safety and that, you know, that all the people and thinking specifically about people with autism and who deal with autism in Japan are going to be okay.
Yeah, that's kind words there, and much needed. There's no question, and I think the whole world probably shares that at this point, which is very important. So, all right. So, any other announcements before we get right into interesting topics?
I don't believe so.
No more announcements? Well, we only have 2 minutes, so make up an announcement.
Well, you did announce our very exciting news about having a second hour during the month, and we're just really looking forward to that. And again, just encouraging people to write to us on Facebook, to call into the show, and give us feedback and questions and comments.
And just for those hearing us for the first time today because they don't listen on Mondays, we are also on the second Monday of every month at 3 to 4.
That's right.
That's right. So this is going to be great. It's great to help people the second Monday, second Tuesday, 3 to 4. That is great timing. So no one has to ever forget something like this. It's always the second Monday and Tuesday, always at 3 to 4.
And, of course, all of our archived shows are going to be on the Break Radio site. So if you can only listen one day, our other shows will be there.
And that's at breakradioshow.com. So that's B as in boy, R-E-A-K, radioshow.com. Go to archive shows, look at Understanding Autism, and voila, there will be Kim and Paul, right? And you'll probably reference it on your Facebook page, too.
Yes. And so please don't feel like if, you know, you at your convenience, you can always go to that website and listen to things that either you missed or things you want to hear again. Sometimes it's good to hear certain things again. So they'll always be there at someone's convenience to go back and reference.
There's no doubt. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Kimberly Isaac, Paul Alden, Understanding Autism, a special edition. We'll be right back. Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Understanding Autism, a special edition. Yes, this is Tuesday from 2 to 3, starring Kimberly Isaac, Paul Loudon, and here we have it. We heard the Stray Cats a little bit longer than usual.
It's a good
song.
But
I love that song, though. Isn't that a good song?
Thankfully, it's a good one.
So why not, you know who picked that out?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then we'll, there we go. All right, so let's get right into it. The interesting topics, what do we have?
Well, we can start with, there's been some research going on into, you know, what may be possible causes of autism. There are plenty of studies that have shown various things, but one interesting one that had some results relatively recently was one that showed that that people suffering with autism, or some of us at least, may have what could possibly be described as an extra male brain. It's sort of more male than typical, and that exposure to more testosterone in the womb could lead to this.
Is that, as part of that study, did they see if that's something that can determine during the pregnancy, for example?
There is a little evidence that it's possible to actually check this during the pregnancy from, was the amniotic fluid?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, this is still, I think, very preliminary, but it was interesting to see some kind of sort of connecting medical piece to some of the other medical theories that have been out there. And so what they're saying is the potential that this has is that if in the womb there is an exposure to excess testosterone, that could be connected to some of what they were saying is autistic traits that they're seeing in individuals. And the other interesting thing about that, a lot of people who follow the biomedical side of things very closely, is that, you know, you hear people talk about mercury and maybe some people in the community, and this is pretty big in Phoenix, have heard about people with autism having lower levels of glutathione. It's a hormone that the body naturally makes. And what was interesting in the articles that we read is that excess testosterone or elevated levels of testosterone could cause depletion of glutathione. And so it was kind of just an interesting thing to be able to read and see some of the connections that are being made on the medical front.
Wow. Do you know how people even, you know, how the researchers even figured this out?
Well, there were actually several studies related to this topic. I mean, there was one study, I believe, in which they actually had adults who were treated with testosterone and tested for empathy reactions versus ones who weren't.
And they injected females with the testosterone and measured their levels of empathy, and they were decreased.
And so you could see sort of, I don't want to say an induced autism, but you could see induced behavior that was leaning in that direction from this. And then on the other side, they were watching children born within a certain time period, and they'd done testing while the parents were pregnant, and then watching the results of a questionnaire from many of this group of children. And there's also there are physical signs for the levels of testosterone. There are actually physical differences in people that are related to the level of testosterone they were exposed to in the womb. One of them is the ratio of second and fourth finger lengths. I don't know exactly where they measure it from, but as they're closer to the same length, that's less testosterone. And as the ratio increases in difference in length, that's more testosterone that you were exposed to in the womb. That's at least what the current research shows.
Or is investigating further.
Well, that's amazing and hopeful, too, evidently, because if you know what could be one of the causes, I suspect you can find a solution.
Well, one thing that's interesting about it is that it correlates with the fact that, you know, there are more males who show up on the autism spectrum than females.
3 out of 4 individuals who have autism are male.
Wow.
So it correlates with several sort of known bits of information already. I don't know the name of that.
Glutathione,
there we go. That one. And so it's just sort of interesting that it correlates with several of these, and that sort of the current early testing shows that it may be something that's at least definitely worth looking into further. It's not worth saying immediately, oh, we know what causes it now, because, for example, there have been identical twins where one had autism and one didn't,
right.
And, you know, presumably they would have been exposed to the same amount of testosterone in the womb. So it's not going to be the only cause, but it gives us a direction to look in for diagnosing it early, for possibly helping to prevent it, and generally improving the situation.
Yeah, just new
information.
Clearer information. And I think for me, too, I think there's so many, you know, we've talked about this on previous shows, but schools of thought about autism, whether it's interventions, causes, you know, proclaimed cures. And I just think it's great that researchers are continuing the research and collaborating, and some of these things are actually making more sense. And so it's encouraging to think that we can get a little bit closer to understanding some of the, you know, the metabolic and genetic and hormonal type factors.
You know, you mentioned something about measuring empathy. Do you know how someone measures empathy? It's sort of interesting.
Well, I think what they did in this study is they were asked to decode pictures of people conveying certain emotions and being able to sort of read what people were attempting to show.
Oh, I got it. So looking at a situation and say, what's that maybe emotion?
Right. I mean, that's probably the most structured way you could sort of measure empathy, although empathy is much bigger than that. It's very internal. It's an internal process. But that's, I think, a basic way to be able to have some kind of gauge on what people are processing.
That's interesting. This is hopeful. So people are, that's good news, actually, because then people are paying attention to this. Researchers, more public awareness equals maybe more help.
Well, I mean, I think this study was started in 2004, so it's been going on for a while, and these are just sort of some of the results that are beginning to come to light now. So, I mean, autism is a topic that does have a lot of interest. It's just sort of a question of, you know, who's researching it? Are they getting good funding? Do we hear about the results, or do they mostly go unnoticed and get heard about by the public? So,
and it's important to consider, too, you know, there are so many factors. And generally, you know, I am in the profession of focusing on quality of life, you know, day to day. And I really admire the researchers who get into some of the medical nitty gritty of things. And I just think it's great that there is such diversity amongst professionals and that we all have different strengths and gifts to offer the community, because we do need the biomedical piece. And we also need, you know, all the various therapists and professionals to help support the people that currently have autism. So,
One thing about this is, even were we to assume this is absolutely correct, and right now this is just, you know, sort of preliminary information, it wouldn't mean much for the, 2 million-ish people currently suffering from autism spectrum disorders in the United States. You know, it's something that affects us going forward. It can help us with, you know, future cases, but there's still a huge number of people who are having troubles, and we have to look at ways to help them as well.
Right. So it's important to just keep in mind the idea of balance when we're doing research and But I do appreciate, I really do appreciate there are so many people out there in the field conducting research, and it's a tough thing to do. So I really respect, if you're a researcher out there listening or know somebody, we really appreciate the hard work you put into to going about all of this. It's really tough.
And I love science. So if you happen to know a researcher who's looking into something autism related, contact us through our Facebook
Absolutely.
Page and we'd love to hear about it.
Or anything we can do to help with research, we're happy to do and talk with you about.
Or just talk about it on our show.
Definitely.
Make you
right.
better known.
And if you want to call in, 602-296-3632. That's 602-296-3632. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with a special edition of Understanding Autism starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. And we'll be right back.
FamilyValuesRadio.net. This is 1010 KXXT.
Are you suffering from pain in joints, whether from arthritis, osteoporosis, stiffness, or old sports injuries? You can be pain-free with BioVaxin Joint Free. Don't settle for pain. Call 800-288-1961. That's 800-288-1961. BioVaxin Joint Free comes in a 100% delicious natural liquid, which gives you the highest absorption versus generic pill forms with low absorption rate. Because of its quadruple action ingredients, many people experience pain-free results within 48 hours. BioVaxin Joint Free increases joint mobility, decreases joint stiffness, and nourishes your joints with the highest grade glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, hyaluronic acid, and all of your essential minerals and amino acids. Restore your joints, save your bones. Without mobility, we have no life. Conquer your pain once and for all. Call now for your free bottle when you get to. Call BioVaxine at 800-288-1961. That's 800-288-1961.
The Renaissance Festival is back.
It's awesome.
Love it. It's great for the family. All our kids love it. That's why we come here.
Weekends, February 12th through April 3rd.
Good times can be had by all.
It's the best time we have every year. It's a great time for everyone.
Join us at the Renaissance Festival.
Have a turkey leg.
The Renaissance Festival is back. Weekends, February 12th through April 3rd.
That festival is so awesome.
Discount tickets available at Fry's and Fry's Marketplace or online at RenFestInfo.com. Presented by Delta Airlines, Fry's, and Pepsi.
You gotta come see it. You know, you come out here and you really have a good time. My kids love it.
There's lots of shops to go to.
Hair braiding.
Blue face painting.
Oh, and I really like the meat sticks, the turkey. Whoa!
So much going on. Make sure you come out early and stay all day.
Pepsi is a proud sponsor of the Arizona Renaissance Festival. Enjoy a Pepsi with royalty at the Renaissance Festival this weekend. Huzzah!
This is 1010 KXXT.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is a special edition of Understanding Autism starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. We've been talking about a bunch of different things from resources on your Facebook page.
Yes.
And again, Facebook page is Understanding Autism. Is that how you type it in? And
If you just search for Understanding Autism Radio Show at Facebook, I believe we're the first result.
Wow, that is great. And of course, the phone number to call in if you'd like to discuss anything, ask a question, 602-296-3632. And you have one more comment about Japan?
Yes, I wanted to mention briefly when we were speaking earlier about Japan, the Red Cross is accepting donations online, and I would just encourage people, if it's something that feels right to you and you're able to, any support we can provide to those people I think would be really helpful.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that's a huge potential tragedy. It is for people that are living there right now. It's already a tragedy,
and there's potential ones lining up as we speak.
There's more.
Just saw in the newspaper a picture of a four-month-old baby that was found, and you know the family separated, and it made me really think about things differently. And on the autism front, I'm thinking about maybe children who have autism that are separated from their families and can't communicate who they are and where they live. I mean, it's just, I just I just hope that that we all do the best we can to support these people right now.
That's good, good.
So redcross.org.
All right, excellent. And again, call in number 602-296-3632. Now, you got some more hot topics, don't you, Paul?
Yeah, well, this is this may be one of the hottest pieces of electronics out there right now, which is interesting because it's also serving as a pretty useful therapy tool for a lot of people. It's the iPad. And this actually extends to the iPhone, the iPod Touch, and other smartphones like the Android ones, but primarily the iPad. There's a lot of devices out there that provide different degrees of aid. There are some devices that can help nonverbal people with the ability to express themselves by touching symbols on a touchscreen that can then speak for them, or, you know, this is also for people with physical challenges. But it's turning out that the iPad and other devices like that, smartphones, have this degree of flexibility with app installation and everything that there are a lot of autism-related apps on the Android Marketplace and the Apple App Store that offer some of these similar kinds of functionality at much lower prices. Now, again, these apps are just apps. You're, you know, using a consumer device, and while these apps are, in many cases, written by professionals in the field, they aren't of the same quality necessarily as the more expensive, heavy apps, but for a lot of cases, they can serve the needs that you have.
I think something that's important to add, too, is, and some people, listeners out there may not know this, but there's a huge variety of augmentative communication devices available for people who have difficulty communicating, whether it's via language or just the physicality. You know, there's a lot of assistant devices out there, and they are very, very, very expensive. And what's interesting to me is that the iPad is offering some very similar tools and at a quite a fraction of the price.
Yeah, I said relatively cheap,
right.
And I mean it in the most literal sense,
right.
Relative to the other devices that serve this
yeah.
field. I mean, with some of them, you're looking at 7,000 to, I think I heard,
20,000. 25,000 for augmentative devices. And, you know, government funding for, like, some people will qualify for, you know, aid in that area, and some people really don't. The other aspect of this that we actually were discussing with a colleague this morning is one thing I like about the idea of using the iPad or an iPhone is it's something relatable to others. You know, seeing a person with a disability carrying around an iPad or an iPhone is so much more relatable than seeing a person carry, you know, a device or a big machine of some sort. And while they do have cool carrying cases for some of those things, I think that the community would be able to relate better and vice versa to using more of a socially understood and acceptable type device.
I mean, we were told a story about, you know, a child being in a new room full of people on the spectrum and sort of being obviously anxious about how do I interact with these people, and seeing one using an iPad as an assistive device, and that gave them an immediate bridge between the two people, a way for them to make a connection that would have been much harder to develop otherwise.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing you've got here, is this is just an everyday device costing 1/10 to 1/40 the cost of some of these other things. And at the same time, it's offering maybe not the full degree of the functionality, but a good approximation of it for many situations. And what you get on top of that is, you know, the iPad is vastly more flexible. You can play games on it. You can watch videos on it. It can be sort of a toy or an entertainment device or something that can allow them to create a situation where they control the influx of stimulus, you know, sort of just a safe thing for them to have there, too. So it can serve other purposes as well.
And the nice thing, too, is a lot of speech and language pathologists are beginning to help families and individuals utilize the iPad and its apps properly. In fact, at the conference that I mentioned early on in the show, there is going to be a lecture on how to use the iPad to enhance communication, and that's going to be given by a speech and language pathologist. So it's nice to see that professionals are considering some of these things. And, you know, obviously when your child, or if it's you yourself that's being assessed communicatively, it's important to listen to the recommendations that your speech pathologist is giving you. But it might be very much worth your while to ask about the iPad if you haven't already or haven't heard about it, and if that might be an appropriate fit for you or your child.
And, of course, there's alternatives. The iPod Touch or the Android smartphones all have similar sorts of apps in their stores.
And actually, so Paul and I were looking yesterday in our smartphones, and we found tons of really cool autism-related apps, and a lot of them were free. So there's just a lot out there, and I don't know that the community is aware of all the resources that are.
I mean, many of
available.
You probably listening now have one of these phones and may not have thought to look. So just go into the store and search for it, and you may be surprised at the utilities and tools that you find that might be able to help you right now for a considerably lower price than what you may end up having to pay otherwise.
And you both really alluded to this, but as you're describing this, I'm thinking of the benefits, let's say, to a small kid that is on the autism spectrum and feels a part of versus different if he had some other device.
Right.
iPad, I should say, is so hot right now, right?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
if you've
you
got
can't
an
even
iPad
get
or an
right
iPad
now.
Touch, you're the cool kid.
Yeah, and I think psychologically, wouldn't that help?
Well,
at
it
least,
definitely,
yeah.
It doesn't create the separation that other... Now, it's important, though, to recognize that there are considerations. I mean, every individual is different. I work with some people where the iPad has been wonderful for them, but they also get very easily distracted by other features. And so if you're a parent out there considering getting the iPad, it's a good idea to talk to a professional and really kind of structure how you're going to use it for therapy. And you may have to set certain limits and boundaries because it could also easily become just a way to sort of watch things on the internet or movies and not be used as much for communication. So you just want to set it up really deliberately with a professional so that you can maximize the benefits that it could have for your child.
And what are some of the apps that you saw that you said were sort of cool?
Well, it's actually listed on our Facebook discussion page. There's a website called gadgetdna.com. And we listed this resource on our website. And they range from things that are you can upload pictures to help your child be able to communicate through pictures. They also have communication apps where you can touch the pictures or the words to create sentences, and then it speaks it back to you. So for people that have difficulty with verbal communication, they could just touch what they want to say, and the iPad would verbalize it. So there's a wide variety of those things, and I liked this app in particular, and I don't remember the name, but it is listed on that site as you can upload your own photos to make it more personal, which I really liked because there are some generic, pretty accurate pictures of items, but it's also neat to be able to upload personally meaningful things to personalize that. So those are just a few things that are out there. And I know as far as smartphones, there are apps that offer, you know, free flashcards for children that are learning wherever they are in their academic programs or behavioral programs. There are different flashcards. There are some videos that model certain kinds of, you know, social rules and behavior. There's some biomedical things. We saw one yesterday that was, is this gluten-free app?
Really?
And for people that have gluten sensitivities, whether they have autism or not, there's a lot of people that have a gluten intolerance. That's a pretty cool app, too. So you might just want to check it out. Some of them on the smartphones were free, and some obviously had a cost, but there was quite a variety.
But the main thing, even it has a cost, it's usually just
a fraction, right.
of some of the things you were describing.
Right.
So what's some of the old style stuff? The things that are $25,000, you said?
Well, there's a lot of different, the communication devices have really evolved over my professional career. There's all kinds of different communication devices based on the abilities of the individual. And it's not just for autism. It's for people that, there are people who can't speak that can't physically even touch buttons or devices where the design of these communication devices are tailored to meet the needs of individuals specifically, but they are very expensive and they come in different sizes and packaging and all that, and you usually have to have some kind of prescription or referral from a speech and language pathologist, and that can be hard too for families actually to get some of that, and then you have to apply for the funding. And so it seems like the iPad would be a really kind of a relief type resource, at least to get something started and look into. If you're on a wait list for one of those devices or an evaluation, there might be some basic things you can find.
So you were at the Apple store yesterday?
No.
Oh, when was it? I thought you said you were at the Apple Store. No, maybe
no,
not.
No, I don't think.
No, the App Store.
Oh, the App Store.
I was like wondering what you're. Yeah, no,
oh.
The App Store. The online. You go. Start
oh,
up your
on
iPod,
the phone.
Choose
okay.
App Store.
I've been to an Apple Store. That's why.
Oh, we love the Apple Store.
Yeah, it was. That's quite amazing.
I love the Apple Store.
I got lost the last time I was in one. I wanted to buy something, and there's nowhere to check out.
Oh.
I was confused.
I didn't even know where to check in. It looked like a sort of like a new, you know, like 100 years in the future. It was, and they had all these the workers there that were really cool, though. They were very friendly. Is that your experience, too?
Oh, they were friendly. I was confused. I found the item I wanted on a shelf. I picked it up. I stopped there, and I looked around, and one of them noticed how helpless I looked and eventually came over and said, "Are you trying to buy something, sir?"
So that's incredible. So the app, you know, it's amazing, the technology, and it's probably only going to get better and more helpful with apps.
These sort of things, these smartphones and iPads and tablets and these gadgets are becoming ubiquitous. I mean, they aren't as cheap right now as they're going to be in 2 years. The goal right now is to drive the prices down so that there aren't normal cell phones, just these Android and Apple smartphones. And when that happens, you know, everyone's going to have them because it's the only choice. And when you're there and you've got it, you know, you've got this great resource of tools, you know, in your pocket all the time.
Well, I think, too, it's really nice to know. I mean, usually we're always talking about slowing down. And actually, as a society, it's a good thing to slow down and not be so electronic. But this is a good example of where we can really maximize the benefits of having such great technological advances. And if you think about it, having something, an application that could help your loved one to communicate with you, something like that could be life-changing.
It really could. It's not just for someone on the autism spectrum, but how would it make the parents, the family, it could have huge benefits psychologically.
Well, that was one of the stories I was reading, was talking about how the device had helped calm down the child, that it gave him, you know, better tools to sort of regulate his interactions with the world. And so this child that they were having trouble with outbursts and everything was just calmed by having the ability to interact directly with this device rather than trying to deal with all the stimulus around him. So for some people, it can be a really helpful thing just in terms of, you know, a starting point.
But again, you have to structure it very carefully. The way you set it up is important. You can't just hand it to your child and let them run wild with it.
Here you go, have fun.
Because, you know, you definitely want to maximize the reciprocity and interaction that could happen as a result. You don't want it to become an isolated, you know, where they're actually isolating themselves more to actually play with this iPad. But there are professionals out there that can help you. I'm thinking particularly speech and language people that could help families or individuals to set up applications to be beneficial in the communication process.
So yeah, that's just, you're right. I mean, if you use it like anything, with its intended use, and it doesn't distract you from your intended purpose.
Right. And that's the tricky part. Well, it could potentially be tricky, but.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone on the spectrum, off the spectrum, I mean, they're going to take that stuff and be intrigued by it, to say the least. It's popular. I don't think you can even get them right now. I think they're sold out, right?
The iPad, oh, that's right. Didn't
they
we
came
hear that?
Out.
The iPad 2.
Yeah,
the iPad 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but there's still the iPod Touch, the iPhone,
Android
smart device. All of those have some form of apps. And the iPad, I mean, Apple's making I don't know how many million of them, so they'll be in stores again soon.
And it's also important to think about is to kind of try out some of the different devices. I have a young man that I work with in Missouri, and he has an iPad, and he uses it, and it's been helpful to an extent, but he actually does communicate significantly better with the iPhone and through texting. And that's just been it's been much easier for him in that venue. So it's also important to really think about, you know, don't be discouraged too. If you try one format and maybe that's not working out as well, there's so many options out there. And it's surprising to see some people just respond and relate better to a different item, a different venue.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. This is a special edition of Understanding Autism. Usually, it will be Monday, the second Monday, second Tuesday, 3 to 4, and we will be right back.
What if your house is on fire? What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is a special edition of Understanding Autism with Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. And it usually will be the second Monday, second Tuesday, 3 to 4. That's why this is a sneak preview of expanded hours. Kimberly, is that amazing?
Amazing.
It is? Hey, yes. You sounded like me on that one.
Amazing.
Okay, so you have some other topics you want to talk about and some other information.
Well, what we've got is we wanted to talk a little bit about our upcoming shows. We're going to be interviewing a few people in the coming shows. And really, just we're happy to be expanding to a second hour because this gives us an opportunity to sort of cover more topics than we've been able to before. We have more freedom to have, you know, our shows more open.
And next month, April, is Autism Awareness Month.
Yes. April 2nd is supposed to be, if I've got the date right.
I think it's April 2nd.
I'm pretty sure it's April 2nd. I've heard that they're going to be lighting up a bunch of buildings.
Blue.
Yes, lighting them up blue.
Blue.
Blue is the color of autism awareness.
Blue.
It's just the color of choice, it seems.
Yeah. No, it's so exciting. It's an in-joke.
I love blue, actually.
I love blue, too.
Yeah. Blue is good. So tell us more about, you're going to be interviewing people? And
yeah. Well, first, on our next show, we've got someone from
Lawrence Institute. The Life Center in Gilbert, Arizona.
They have a center there. It's three buildings? Two buildings?
They have two or three. I think three buildings now.
Yeah, we just walked it, but I didn't really. I think it was three buildings. Yeah, because, yes, it's three buildings now that I think back through. And they've got a lot of facilities for helping younger people with autism. And they're fundraising, and they want to expand. And so we're going to have someone talking about their hopes there.
Their
and,
visions for the
and
future.
And what they're working on now.
Their programs. They have amazing programs right now for children with autism, preschool age until about fifth grade right now. But their hope is to expand to other age populations and so forth. And we really want to support them in their efforts to make that vision come to pass. So we're going to have a representative from Life next month, and we're really looking forward to it. And they offer occupational therapy, behavioral therapy. They have a private school. They have feeding therapy. They just music therapy, which is really amazing. And we just want to give them an opportunity to share a bit about their vision, what they're doing, and how, as a community, we can support the expansion process.
That is awesome. And so that's going to be sort of the theme. I mean, it's developing nicely where your expanded your own vision, expanding to Monday and Tuesday, the second Monday and Tuesday, 3 to 4, as a resource center.
And much like our talk with the Life Center, if you are working on autism therapy or something related here in the Phoenix area, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes. Anybody out there who is looking to find a way to create exposure for an idea or a vision you have to help the autism community, we definitely want to hear about it. And we want to try to put people in touch with each other that might be able to collaborate. So please do contact us on our Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com and then Understanding Autism. And we want to hear from you.
Understanding Autism Radio Show.
Radio Show.
I'm pretty sure you'll find it with Understanding Autism too, but the radio show helps make sure.
There's a big picture of a radio room, so it'll be easy to spot.
I think you should get both you and Paul's picture in the radio show room picture.
I think we're going to get that set up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I could take a picture right now on my iPhone.
I think my phone can take a better picture.
Yeah, probably.
the battle of the phones.
Yeah.
So we're really excited, though, about next month. So next month is Autism Awareness Month, and we also wanted to talk about a couple of ideas and lineup we have for future shows. Coming up this summer, we're going to have a specialist in animal training and potentially using dogs as therapeutic, therapeutic aids or animals to enhance the therapeutic process for individuals with autism. So we're really excited to have, we're going to have Spencer on in June. And we're going to be discussing that topic. And we're also going to be having Rich Mattson, the music therapist and clinical director of Life, who's going to do some sample music therapy live on the show. So we're really looking forward to sharing some of those things. Mm-hmm. And we also want to look into some of the things that are going on in Arizona regarding funding and insurance topics. And so
right now, the ability of public funds for autism-related projects, both insurance and for therapies, is a hot topic. You know, there are bills passing right now that have a strong impact on whether these funds will be available. So we're probably going to end up talking about that in the near future as well.
Now, will you have the lineup, all these guests, on your Facebook page?
As we set exact times for each of them, we'll be posting when they'll be on. Facebook has a calendar where you can post events, and we should be using that to share when these guests will be on
our
show.
We're in the process of organizing it all, but we have the ones we just mentioned confirmed. But we definitely follow us on Facebook because we will be posting information on those guests and topics.
And, of course, if you want to listen to archive shows, past shows, breakradioshow.com, and I bet you'll have a link on your
There's
Facebook.
A link on the Facebook page, and it's there's an info button on the left side, and it should link back to our show archives.
Now, do I have a picture on my own picture?
I don't think we have any other pictures other than that little empty radio room.
Okay.
We're working on it.
I know.
It's a new site, you know.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
So this is great. So the future shows are going to be so helpful. You're going to pull in a whole collection of different groups that help in this area. And it will give people almost a menu approach to what they can do, what they can afford, and hope and possibilities, maybe things they've never heard of.
Well, we'd love to just improve the understanding of the world around autism. You know, what's there, what you can do, what you might need to know to help you, what's going on. Just enough information that you can feel more solidly grounded in the situation.
There are so many options and there are so many resources out there, and I think it can be really overwhelming for people. And so what we want to do is over time we want to present these resources and provide some insight for people who maybe feel overwhelmed or unaware or lost or confused, and giving them that information to help them sort out what would be best for them is the goal.
And really also give them questions they can ask too, because I know on previous shows you've touched on that. Is, you know, what do you really ask a professional? How do you know if someone's right for you? Isn't that important?
That's very important, and actually that's one of our topic lists. We've briefly touched on it in the past, but I think it's important for any parent or if you're self-advocating to remember that it is important to choose professionals that you are comfortable with.
And what would you actually, we only have a few minutes left, I believe, but what would you tell parents that maybe want to try their own therapy by themselves without asking a professional or getting some, at least some advice. Is that any time a good idea?
You know, the only time, in my opinion, it's a good idea is if you're a parent and you're trusting your instincts. You always go with your instincts when it comes to parenting, and don't let the autism kind of fool you on that. It's important to me that parents feel empowered by whatever therapy they choose, and if that's not happening, that raises a bit of a red flag to me, that the parents, the family should be very involved, if possible. I'm speaking more towards the younger children. I know with adults that's not always possible, but when it comes to children and starting therapies, parents can research therapies out there. The important thing is that you trust your instincts as a parent, whether it's choosing professionals or therapies.
But the worst thing you can do, and Paul touched on it really yesterday on the show, is that really ignoring symptoms or ignoring situations may just unfortunately cause confusion, frustration, depression if you really don't know what's going on. So.
Yeah. If the problem's there, the problem is there, whether you've diagnosed it or acknowledged it or not. So if you suspect there's a problem, even if you have just the beginning of a suspicion, go ahead and look into it because it can only help.
Yeah, and that's so important, and because, you know, especially for, you know, any age, a young kid or adults, it doesn't matter. You know, it's really a gift the parent can give to their children, isn't it, to help them try to figure out what's going on.
Absolutely.
And that's part, I think, of the parenting and guiding process. And that's something we focus on in RDI when RDI is being done with younger children, is we really focus on helping the parents to guide their children and kind of restore that intuitive parenting process to help them grow and develop. And we will be talking about RDI in a future show, too.
That would
Several
be great.
Shows. I'm excited about that.
That's and where they're located in a different state.
Well,
right?
The headquarters are in Texas, but there are certified consultants worldwide.
Ah, nice. Yeah, and that's something near and dear to my heart because it sounds very consistent. I haven't said it in many shows, but neuro-linguistic programming, it does sound very close to the study I've done.
There are some interesting parallels in the mindset and process-oriented type stuff. So we're looking forward to sharing much more about that in future shows.
Excellent. Maybe even an NLP RDI show, right?
We'd have an
talk.
NLP standoff.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay, I'll have to sign the contract on that one. Anyway, we're at the end of the show. Can you believe it? Kimberly Isaac, Paul Loudon, thank you so much. This has been a special edition of Understanding Autism. And, of course, every second Monday, second Tuesday, 3 to 4, it will be Understanding Autism with Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. Make sure you always tune in. And if you can't, go to breakradioshow.com, listen to the archive shows. This can only help, and because everyone's probably going to know a friend, a family member that might be touched with someone on the spectrum, so be sure you know and you can help people, and that should be the goal of everyone, helping people, motivating, inspiring, and stay tuned for the Business Innovation Panel. We'll be right back.